broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nordman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Nordman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Wednesday. Kyle Bruston Nordman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust. Alongside me, literally, is Kyle Wallace. Say something, Kyle.
Oh, I'm so excited to be at Road America.
Was that you trying to get your voice deeper for the engines that rumble? As cars are on track, this is one of my favorite places because literally, you can just drive right under the bridge because it's a four-mile road course and there's so much for you to do inside here at the 4.2-mile road course. It is the largest road course in North America, and I think that what makes me proud to say that is, like, I think people are proud to be Wisconsinites because you obviously have the Green Bay Packers, which everyone is proud of. The history, the nostalgia, the team right now, the excitement. The Milwaukee Brewers, who are up early in their game today, looking to knock off the Rangers to get one of three. Yeah. Ultimately trying to help secure the NL Central and the number one seed in the NL.
Best record in baseball, too.
Then you have the Milwaukee Bucks, who won a championship in 2001. Like, you have strong pride for Wisconsin and Marquette. And then to have something this unique in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, in between Green Bay and Madison, Milwaukee, just brings joy to my heart. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more. We are on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. And, of course, download, if you haven't, the ESPN Wisconsin app. You can listen back anytime, anywhere. Listen live anytime, anywhere. It's customizable and easy to use. Now, I want to ask you right off the bat, Kyle, are you okay to move toward the Washington Commanders today?
Oh, thank you. Very polite of you. I like that. Where do all these manners come from? Yeah, today is the day before game day, and I think now it is time to turn the page from the great, fantastic, phenomenal beatdown of the Detroit Lions. Now it's time to focus as fans on the Washington Commanders coming into Green Bay tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad we got the blessing and the green light from you, because with no Brad Nordman out taking care of a newborn baby, it's you and me for a while with Strophy running the show. You seem cocky.
Whoa.
About the Green Bay Packers.
No.
I'm overconfident about the Green Bay Packers.
What about me seems cocky?
Hey, did you listen to the last two days to yourself?
What about me seems overconfident about the Green Bay Packers? Why should I not be confident?
Because
I think I'm confident,
you've completely,
but overconfident.
You've completely dismissed the Washington Commanders the last 2 days.
I don't think I've dismissed the Washington Commanders the last 2 days, but I do believe that I've just utilized what we've seen on the football field so far this season to come to the conclusion that the Green Bay Packers are the better football team going into tomorrow night. So that's not me being overconfident. That being confident based off how well the Packers performed in week one.
Yeah, no, I get it. My overall point is, it is one game. It is one game that you should be excited about, because the narrative heading into the season was that this team could not beat teams with better records than them.
Sure,
and obviously,
sure was.
If you look at both these first two opponents, the Detroit Lions, who they manhandled, they had won 15 games last year.
So did.
The year before, they went to an NFC Championship game. Now you're looking at one of the oldest teams in the NFL with a lot of experience. They may not be a team where all the names pop out on paper, but they have the darling of last year in Jaden Daniels at quarterback. The same way that Jordan Love was looked at after his first year starting, especially with the way he ended that season. I just think you think this is an automatic victory, and I'm worried for your mindset if that's not the case.
No, I don't think it's an automatic victory, but when I look at this team and I look at this breakdown, I look at the matchup, Ben Bruss, when we talked about the Packers going up against the Philadelphia Eagles last year, when we talked about the Packers going up against the Detroit Lions, the one thing that we looked at, and even the Minnesota Vikings, the three teams that basically, the only three teams, I don't count the Bears game, the only three teams that they lost to last year was you looked at it. You see it offensively. They had a better offense. Defensively, both teams had a better defense. And then we looked at the head coach, and some said Kevin O'Connell better coach than Matt LaFleur. Look at what he can do with Sam Darnold. They looked at Dan Campbell and said, look at the personality that he put on that football team. They look at Nick Sirianni and said, well, he got his team to a Super Bowl before, and then it turns out he got them back to a championship. So based off the criteria that we used last season and we used going into this year, comparing who we believe is going to win games on paper, and what my eyes have shown me is that the Green Bay Packers head coach, give me Matt LaFleur over Dan Quinn. Quarterback, give me Jordan Love. Offense, give me Jordan.
Okay,
give me the Green Bay Packers.
Let's stop real quick because the talk of last year during the season, and it's fair to say based off the way the contracts are structured, is that people would swap last year. They said they would swap Jordan Love with Jaden Daniels based off of how he was playing, the fact that he's in a rookie deal. And it's just the how quickly you're dismissing somebody in his rookie year who took them to an NFC championship game.
I'm not dismissing
it. Because I think he's a very talented quarterback. It's going to be a very different challenge.
We weren't talking about Jaden Daniels the first 5-6 weeks of last season. He played well at the end of last year. I'm not taking away anything. I think the kid can be the face of the NFL in the next 5 years when other guys start to age out. I'm not saying he is not great, but I am saying we were so high on C.J. Stroud and we were so high on Jordan Love, and guess what happened?
Different quarterbacks. So they're different types of quarterbacks.
I get it. They used their, one used their legs a little bit more.
A lot of it. He had 900 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns.
Still to be seen whether or not a sophomore slump is going to be had by Jaden Daniels. So I'm just saying, before we crown Jaden Daniels the prince to being a king, let's allow for him to have more games, because like we talked about, once you get more film on people, things become significantly more difficult. But when I look at this Green Bay Packers football team, every phase, offense, defense, special teams, and head coach, the Green Bay Packers are better than the Washington Commanders. So if you think I'm overconfident, that's on you. But I am confident based off the way that my team played on week one against the Detroit Lions. But then on top of that, when we look at who we have, the talent that we have on all phases of the football game, you can't say there's a place where you can say, oh, yeah, they're significantly better than the Packers. Maybe receiver, that's it. But I'll take our team group and what we had and how Jordan Love distributes the ball over them having some really good, two really good wide receivers and an above average tight end in Zach Ertz.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I'm not gonna disagree holistically on like the roster standpoint, because ultimately the Green Bay Packers roster had an opportunity to get better because of one player.
And they did it. Why aren't you confident?
I'm not confident. I'm checking your pulse, because part of my job here on Kyle Bruston Ortman is to protect you from yourself.
Oh,
I
don't have a therapist, and I ain't having you sign up to be able to protect me from
unfortunately,
myself.
I do it for free, because your mentals after a Green Bay Packer game affect how my Fridays and my Mondays go based off the result of the team.
That's true.
And honestly, I'm actually looking out for your fiance, because I know that you could be a pouty little baby after a Green Bay Packer game and not talk to anyone, and you just say, hey, leave me alone. Don't talk to me.
That is very true.
Don't talk to me.
But too late, too bad.
Lucky for you. Do you like when there are night games? Because at least you would say when the Packers play on Sundays.
Yeah, it could ruin my Sunday.
It could ruin your entire day. No. So does it help that if something does go wrong, that it's just like, I'm just going to bed? Do you wake up?
I go to bed dreaming. I told you last year I dreamed about the injury. I dreamed that I opened up Twitter and I saw that Jordan Love.
You're talking about week one against the Eagles.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still dream about the loss. It's just I don't actually have to dwell on it. And it actually travels into the next day a little bit more extreme than what it typically does. I mean, it always travels. The loss always travels. But, no, I don't need you to set me up for anything. The Green Bay Packers showed me enough.
I'm not setting you up. I'm just taking your pulse.
Listen, my pulse is good. It's good. We should be confident. You shouldn't take my confidence in being overconfident. No, you should take my confidence in how good the Green Bay Packers are. Bro, the defense play is spectacular. The one thing that you said Jaden Daniels does very well is his ability to utilize his legs, and that is something that the Green Bay Packers know. But the one thing that Goody loves and what he's been drafting. When you look at Quay Walker didn't have a lot of experience on the football field in college. He only started his last year, but what did he have? He was fast, he was dynamic, and he could make plays. He likes guys who are explosive and move around. Adrian Cooper fell to the second round, but what did he love about him? How explosive, how fast he moved. Now you add Michael Parsons, explosive. He loves fast and explosive guys. That's what he really loves, and guess what? Those are the type of players that can contain and slow down to Jaden Daniels, so that's why I have such a high level of confidence is what he does well. The Green Bay Packers have the athletic ability to neutralize that. So, yes, I am very confident, just like anybody else should be, because going into this game, you're picking the Packers to beat the Commanders. And all of a week ago, you were saying
I still am. Look, here's the thing. As Don chimes in on the Carbis Talk and text line, Benny, I know you're playing devil's advocate right now, but it's not only Kyle who's confident on the Packers. I know that because I'm confident on the Packers too. You know that I am. But part of, like I said, of what we have to do is make sure that we look at what they have and make sure it's transferable into a short week against a different challenge. It's a completely different challenge. It's a way different challenge than going against a team that is was supposed to be a physically dominant team that runs the football really well with a guy that, if you give time in the pocket, had nearly an 80% completion percentage last year in Jared Goff, and the Packers absolutely blew up their plan in their face and dominated that game from start to finish on all three phases.
They sure did.
But in the NFL, it is a week-to-week league, and you look at a lot of what you see, and it would be – here's the thing. The Packers have the skill and the ability to do what they did again on Thursday. And when I say that, I mean win the game in a dominant fashion. It may look a little bit different because the team that they're playing is obviously built different than the Lions are. Because Jaden Daniels is the type of quarterback where I agree that they have the tools around them to be able to contain him. But I do think he has a better ability than Jordan Love to take over a game. I think that's fair to say from how dynamic he is. And that's not a slight on Jordan Love. It's simply because Jaden Daniels doesn't have a running back who led the league in rushing 3 years ago, who went for 1,300 yards last year, right? Like, that's the difference is Jaden Daniels will have to play superhero if they're going to beat the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion. That's what I'm saying. I think he has a better ability to take over a game than Jordan Love, but can he do it against this Green Bay Packers defense is the question. I still lean no, but that is the main thing I'm looking at. I'm watching the quarterback of the Commanders the entire game to see how he handles what Jeff Hafley throws at him.
Yeah, what I'm thinking about here going back in, last year, one thing the Green Bay Packers didn't struggle with, I know there was times where, you know, I remember Caleb Williams picking up third downs, but I don't remember quarterbacks running left and right all over them. Even with Jalen Hurts, I don't remember him running left and right all over the Green Bay Packers and destroying us, as quarterbacks have done in the past against the Green Bay Packers. So that's why I feel confident in the scheme in this team that the Green Bay Packers have, that they'll be okay against Jaden Daniels. If Jaden Daniels is the only thing you're concerned about, then I'm good. Then I am confident, I am absolutely good, because I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to go out there and throw for 400 yards and carve up the Green Bay Packers for four touchdown passes and rush for 120 yards. I don't see Jaden Daniels doing anything like that. So if Jaden Daniels is the only thing that you're worried about, guess what? I got somebody for him. His name is Micah. Last name Parsons. And Micah. How much Dan Quinn may think he knows Micah Parsons because of him being down there in Dallas with Micah Parsons, you can know somebody all you want, but you ain't going to be on the field. You're not going to be the offensive lineman that have to go against Micah Parsons, whether he's coming off the edge or coming from inside. He ain't got to worry about that. Their offensive line, they're decent, but they ain't good enough to stop Micah. And this pass rush, that cheetah, when they put that cheetah package in, just watch him get to the quarterback. Watch Jaden Daniels scramble and throw an interception on Thursday.
Well,
he protects the football, too.
That is the, the big thing is if you do get the pressure – the Packers do seem to have the playmakers like Evan Williams and David McKinney on the back end come up and help those corners come over the top if he is forcing throws. If the defensive line, which they have the ability to do so, if they can do it against the Lions, they likely can do it against the Commanders. 800-990-3776. Eric in the 262, I saw this yesterday. Here's a little bit more for Kyle Wallace. Micah. Had 4.5 sacks in 2 games against the Commanders last year.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Just more reasons.
So Dan Quinn thinks that his experience knowing Micah Parsons when he coached him is going to help him this week, huh?
I'm not saying that.
No. That's what Dan Quinn. Hey, I've coached Micah. I know Micah. We played against him. Yeah, okay. Y'all going to see Micah harassing folks.
One thing I've realized watching, and even in the limited time that I watched the Browns and Bengals, is what it's so fun to watch Myles Garrett and know that, like, hey.
He's a monster.
Well, he's a monster, but I was like, we got one of them too around here. Isn't that crazy? Disruptive edge rusher.
It has not been that fun since Clay Matthews.
It's still like honeymoon phase. I think moving on from the game of the Lions to the Commanders, it's time to do that. If you still want to be in the honeymoon phase of like, holy cow, there's a beast wearing number one that's on our team, the team that we watch every single game disrupting quarterbacks, if you want to be in the honeymoon phase for that, you can stay in it for a little bit longer.
Ain't nothing changing.
800-990-3776 at the Carbless Talk and Text Line. The Green Bay Packers did make a move yesterday internally for somebody who has not touched the football field. They re-signed Christian Watson to an extension that helps get him through this year to not have to rush back, guaranteeing him a part of the team in 2026. I want to talk about that because part of me is thinking it's interesting, and part of me is thinking, well, this is aggressive, and then part of me is thinking, who in the world is this Brian Gutekunst? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
Call me daddy.
That just sounds...
It's just, yeah.
Like,
call me cut daddy.
Mike. On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Kyle Wallace, live from Road America, America's National Park of Speed, with you, KBN Nation, at 800-990-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line lists is more. You can find Carbless here right at Road America. Strophy's running the show. You can see us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Now, the news yesterday that kind of came out of nowhere is that Christian Watson was extended into the 2026 season. Now, if you want to look at it this way, Christian Watson wasn't a first-round pick. He was, I think, three picks into the second round. So in terms of the way you can look at it is the Green Bay Packers have a $12 million deal where most of these fifth-year options for first-round players are $20-plus million.
Yeah.
And so the thing that you can raise your eyes about is, okay, you don't want him to rush back for 24. But Kyle got a lot of flack for saying this about Jordan Love. I don't care if people get mad. This is the truth. Like, Christian Watson is injury prone.
I mean, he seems to be hurt quite a bit.
He's injury prone. Like, he is. Like, the stats would show it. Played 14 games, then 9 games in 2023, and then in 2024, obviously.
You're scared to say prone, huh?
No, I already said it.
Oh, I thought you said he just often injured.
No, I literally said it because I don't care if people are mad. It's like this one's the literal truth.
Yeah, no,
yours was a little bit more of a stretch. And then tearing his ACL.
Sad, man. Sucks.
Which sucked because he was starting to play well at the end of 2024.
Pointless game. But he was coming off an injury before.
Correct. And he still, I think it was his other knee that was bothering him, and it was the other knee that went out. The ACL went out. And so I guess I get it. I think there's an excitement about having the speed on the outside that Christian Watson can have as Matthew Golden grows into his role. Jaden Reed obviously will be back with the team next year. Savion Williams is still that kind of that gadget guy you're figuring out how to use. Maybe not ready for those moments yet. Do you like it, Kyle? Do you like the fact that Goody is being more aggressive than he's ever been in his entire general manager career?
No, I do like the fact that he's looking to secure his own guys, and I'm not going to complain about us, and I'm going to give Goody this. Is Goody has been cooking. He's been on a heater, and so I'm not going to question many of the moves that he did because the Micah Parsons move gets me off your back for quite a bit of time. But the one thing about the extension that I do question is what does that mean for the roster moving forward? What does that mean for the receiving room moving forward? Because I do believe Christian Watson is talented, but there's not enough room for everybody. And if I think about what this could mean for the room, it means that The guy, 87, Romeo Doubs, who I believe is a more refined wide receiver, who I believe is more available, even though he's had his issues, but he's
available.
More,
he's strong word to use for somebody who is MIA.
He went MIA.
Missing in action.
But he plays more than Christian Watson does. But then the reliability in the sense of him being the safety blanket for Jordan Love. Jordan Love looked to who on Sunday? He looked to Romeo Doubs a couple times, but and had some big plays, some big moments for Jordan Love, even on a two-play drive. It was a big pass to Romeo Doubs, who showed some emotion as well. And so when I look at this receiver room and I look at who I know it seems that Jordan Love relies on quite a bit, it's Tucker Kraft and Romeo Doubs seem to be those safety blankets, not Christian Watson. And maybe it's because Christian Watson hasn't been able to consistently stay healthy. But if I had to choose between the guys who I was going to stay in this crowded wide receiver room, I would choose Romeo Doubs over Christian Watson simply because of what we've seen consistently on the field. And then on top of that, not to take any shots, but I'm just going to be honest. The negative things that his family has said about the Green Bay Packers organization decisions as well is something we don't want to hear. I don't want to hear what your parents have to say on social media. I'd rather have people be silent. So I give me Romeo Doubs over Christian Watson.
Interesting that you brought that up, because I actually forgot about what the Watson family had said when they drafted Matthew Golden.
They said, this is why they won't ever win. This is a stupid decision. That's what they said about Matthew Golden.
Guess what they're going to say now?
They're probably going to love what the Green Bay Packers did.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers invested
Scoop.
In my son.
Yeah, and again, I think Christian Watson
I'm really looking forward to watching Matthew Golden and Christian Watson on the
field together. Right. I do think Christian Watson is a very talented individual, but he's had many chances to be healthy and to show what he can do on the field consistently. And you went through how many games he played. He has not played a complete NFL season. And so, unfortunately, so far in his career, he's often injured, which just takes away the evaluation of Christian Watson. I'm sorry. I don't want a guy that's not consistently healthy that hasn't shown that he can play at an elite level. It's one thing when you're elite like Jair to have the argument, well, when he's healthy, he is a difference maker. When Christian Watson is healthy, we still haven't seen him be a consistent difference maker for the Green Bay Packers. Romeo Doubs has shined for me more consistently than Christian Watson. So, again, I'm happy to have Christian Watson. The decision is made. I'm good to go with it. But
no,
I am concerned about
Romeo. That's just an interesting way to put
Romeo.
It, consistently shine. Watson, like, in four games in his rookie year, obviously when healthy, even with Rodgers, put up some unbelievable statistics. Unbelievable.
But you're talking about a small sample size. Why is it only a small sample size, Ben?
Because of the injuries that occurred after that.
That's what I'm saying.
Mean, you could look to one game in which he went down in the middle of the field, and on the injury report during the game, I kid you not, there were three things listed next to him. Potential concussion, chest, and back injury.
Had a lot going on.
There was three. I think that has to be a first in the NFL for an injury report. Three things next to one player after one play.
He told him everything hurt.
Bubble wrap me, please. Strofe, when it comes to Watson Doubs, you heard Kyle. Both kind of have their things from an off-the-field standpoint. I don't put Watson's family as much of a bugaboo to me as much as a player whining about targets who was actually being targeted pretty highly.
Yeah, I think he is probably like a more versatile receiver than Romeo Doubs is, despite his reliability. But look, mm-hmm. This is an interesting, to your point, Benny, at the top of the segment, kind of an interesting timing for this. You know, I didn't expect this on a random, Tuesday night in the beginning of September before he's even seen the field. But I like it for both sides. It's a short-term commitment from the Packers. It's not a huge monetary commitment from the Packers, but it ensures you have five receivers, hopefully, by next year in 2026 that you have under contract. Obviously, the other four being the two rookies this year in Golden and Williams, and the other two in Reed and Wicks with one more year on their contract, which would be next year. So, all in all, I like it. I like Watson more than I like Doubs in terms of a boom perspective. But as they say, the best ability is availability, and Doubs has been more available than Watson.
Yeah. And I like Christian Watson. And don't get it twisted. I think Christian Watson is extremely
explosive. I love Christian Watson.
No, I do. I think he's explosive. I think he's a great guy, a great locker room guy. I think he has great potential. But at a certain point, you got to cut ties with potential, because if he can't stay healthy, which he's not going to play a full season due to the ACL injury this year, and then next season will be his next chance to try to stay healthy – if we can't keep having these same conversations,
he won't be back if he's not around in 26. on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And then where will Romeo Dobbs be? Where will this receiver room be? Because I don't know. Maybe it's me where I feel like Romeo Dobbs is that perfect safety net blanket, that number three. But I guess maybe the Packers are saying, you know what? Tate Wicks can be what Romeo Dobbs is. Christian Watson has a great attribute with that elite speed that he has. And so maybe they're saying, hey, we can move on from Romeo Dobbs because we have Dontavian Wicks. And then we get Christian Watson back. So now we have two Blazers on the outside. Again, I'm not mad about this decision. I'm just, you know, we need somebody to step up to be that safety blanket outside of Tucker Graff for our quarterback, Jordan Love.
I guess I'm not going to lie. This has been the longest debate of, like, does a number one wide receiver matter? Who is it? Can it be by committee? And I'm not going to lie, week one did not help this conversation.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Two receptions from Dobbs for 68 yards. Reed, three receptions, 45 yards. Both targeted 4 or 5 times, respectively. Wicks, 2 catches, 30 yards. Kraft, 2 catches. Golden, 2 catches. And then you have, obviously, a bunch of 1, 1, 1, 1, and 1 from running backs and tight ends.
I mean,
and Savion Williams. So, like, 16 receptions, and I think it's 10 guys that caught passes, which is great because they didn't need to throw the ball that
and
much.
But
they dominated the football game. But it's not helping the clarity that I think we're all happy with who they have. But I think everyone would be happier if somebody like consistently was that guy, or maybe it doesn't matter as long as they win games.
That's the hard part, because the problem we had last year is that when guys can't find a way to win their one-on-one battles and win off the line and get open, and the scheme isn't scheming guys open, that's when you get into problems. Typically, a number one wide receiver is always going to find himself open more often than not. But with the Green Bay Packers, you had so many guys on Sunday where you're like, well, look, the scheme worked. You know, anybody and everybody can be a threat. Yeah, that's cool now. But when it comes to the playoffs, are you going to be able to be like a team that has the number one wide receiver that's a go-to guy? Or are you going to be kind of what we talked about before, that Tom Brady Patriots type team outside of when they had Randy Moss, where he can just deliver the ball around and have that safety blanket in his tight end?
But that safety blanket was a number one pass catcher.
Good one in Rob Gronkowski.
So, again, I guess since we're here, Strofe, ready? Who's going to be leading the team and receiving at the end of the year? Go.
Still Matthew Golden.
Kyle.
I'm going to go with Romeo Dobbs.
I'm going to go with Jaden Reed. You have to go with Jaden Reed. He still led the team in targets despite the fact that
the foot injury, yeah.
Yeah, he had the injury. But, like, Jaden Reed consistently has been the guy who's the most explosive play guy.
I just don't think he's going to be healthy all year. I mean, Grant, he played. It worked out last week.
It's hard to have a conversation about when you're just projecting health.
But
Romeo Dobbs wearing a Guardian cap still since he had 2 concussions last year, so I can say the same
thing
about him.
That's very true. Maybe I should switch to Matthew Golden. He's the only one that's been healthy, but he only had 1 game so far.
But the race for who's going to be the leading receiver for the Green Bay Packers is wide open.
You had nobody with more than 44 receiving yards on Sunday?
No, you had Dobbs for 2 catches for 68.
68, okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But, like, 2 catches.
It's
nobody's dominating the ball. Even Tucker Kraft, 2 catches for 15 yards.
You know, it just seems like they did more.
It
seems like, dang, that's it? Romeo had 2 catches. Tucker only had 15 yards.
Well, it did feel like, and again, game flow is game flow. They didn't have to unleash the ball through the air, but at what point it did look like Jordan Love could throw for 400 yards.
I mean,
last
he was
game.
Carving them up.
So we'll see if this is a closer game, how Jordan Love in the offense for a guy who was 16 of 22, that's the completion percentage we all been waiting for him.
It is. The efficiency, that he was extremely efficient in that first half and did what he needed to do in the second half. Did what he was asked to do in the second half.
Yeah, and again, if you look at the statistics, 92.1 QBR and a 128.6 rating. All in all, despite the weird 2 passes in a row, that one was almost interception, one was interception with the as Tausch would say yesterday, the cops called it back.
Did it grab Romeo? He grabbed Romeo.
Well, all in all, Jordan Love
is looking pretty good by the numbers. We'll see what happens on Thursday. We're at Road America. It's one of the best places in the world, America's National Park of Speed. This weekend, you got the Aaron's Art of Wheels. And if you are looking for something to do, it's going to be a great weekend of weather. Affordable family fun. Kids 16 and under get in free with a paying adult at the gate. I smell the engine oil. I smell the gas fumes. I smell the sounds of rubber on the racetrack. The smell the sounds. I don't think you can do that. I can smell the rubber on the racetrack. I got it all right here in person at Road America. So go to roadamerica.com to get your tickets today.
Smooth.
Wheel of Strofe with Alex Strofe, the Gruber Law Office of One Call That's All Studio.
Wheel of Strofe!
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
But I got a bone to pick with Strofe next. More
bone
questions?
Bone to pick? I have a question, yeah. How are babies made?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
She told me, honey, pick your poison. Mine's a lemon and gin with a hit. I mix some pretty boys and over the head. I'll admit, I'm kind of
crazy. It's Kyle Brustin Nortman with you at Road America. And let me tell you, there's family-friendly activities for everyone. And when I say kids 16 and under getting free, it's true, with the paying adult at the gate. So this weekend, with Road America celebrating its 70th anniversary, fans can enjoy a Ferris wheel all weekend. I know Kyle loves heights. Live music Friday by the Two Fifths Polka Band. Strofe, like, you like any and all music. I can see you as a polka guy.
Oh, I'm a polka guy.
And a spectacular fireworks show Friday night. So, again, when I say it's affordable family fun, it really is, and they provide more for you once you get into Road America. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace with Strofe running the show. UKBN Nation at 800-990-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. It's time now for the Wheel of Strofe.
It's time for the
Wheel of Strofe.
Another day, another buck on the Wheel of Strofe. I just had a panic attack.
I just had a panic attack. What just happened right there?
Somebody hit the wheel.
Where is it?
It was on the floor behind a shelf.
Somebody was trying to clean, huh?
Apparently, but I found it.
We got big time people coming tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
we do. Kyle's
cleaning ladies coming to make our office spiffy.
Unsportsmanlike live from the Gruber Law Office Studios beginning at 5 a.m.
Is it clean in there, Stroke? Because I won't be back until Friday. Is it clean?
It looks good in there. Yeah, it looks good.
You know, that's how I get treated. You know, it'd be hilarious. I don't know if you know this, but it was hot again. It was 78 down there.
Yeah, the air's kicked back in.
Unsportsmanlike had to deal with 78 degree.
But hold on, of course
they're gonna get perfect. Whatever temperature they want.
I love that I'm no longer dealing with a 78 degree studio.
Okay, good.
They fixed it for you.
Yeah, I mean not for Mr. Irrelevant, but for KBN they did. So they did it for you guys.
Big timers. All right, here we go. Good spin, Strofe!
Good spin.
Yellow, which means...
We got to talk about Bill Belichick, boys.
What happened?
Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson, his 24-year-old girlfriend, who feels like she's been 24 forever. She might be 25 now.
For real, though, how long has this saga been happening?
It's been about a year at this point, at least.
Jeez, they've been dating more than a year. Ain't no way in the world he gave her all this control in just 12 months. If so, we need to save him. Save him.
Oh, bad news. She actually just turned 24 in March.
What?
So she was actually 23. How long have Bill Belichick? I'm going to get you an answer. They've been applying for a bunch. They've been together. Applying for a bunch of patents and trademarks.
Oh my gosh.
They were denied a bunch. Would you like to hear them?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to find the answer of how long they've been together. At least 2023, which makes her 22.
Oh,
wow. Gets weirder and weirder. All right. Do your job, Bill's version. Ignore the noise, Bill's version. The Belustrator, Bill's version. And no days off, Bill's version, have all been denied by the U.S. Patent Office. They're like doing a Taylor Swift thing
with the whole Bills version.
Yeah, they're doing a Taylor Swift thing.
Yeah, Bill. Where is Bill's kids at? Doesn't his son,
right,
Steven,
is
on the staff, man?
Is there someone that loves him?
Because this
well, he's on the staff, so
yeah,
he's happy.
Yeah, well, yeah,
he's,
I guess.
He's got an opportunity.
This is weird. This is we're all seeing this young lady come in and, like, control this guy who was stoic, who was this all about business, and now Bill's sitting here again. He's eating lobster
so
fruit dinner.
Bill,
like,
Bill Belichick
designed as a lobster.
Bill Belichick's daughter is 41, and his sons are 38 and 37, which is 13, 14, and 17 years older than his girlfriend.
Yeah, dude, it's not, to me, it's not even about the age is weird, but it's about all the weird behavior.
Correct. I
like
mean, this
control.
Isn't the first time we're seeing somebody who's in their 70s with somebody younger than them. It is... watching somebody who won, what was it, 6 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots?
As a head coach, yeah.
It feels like elder abuse.
Something's off. Like, everybody, like, he can't be riding a hit. North Carolina's going to be a disaster. It's not going to work out. He's out here banning, hey, they banned me, so I banned them. Like, this is just the pet.
It's petty.
Does he have a headset on the sideline, too?
No, but she was down there in his opener the other week, right before the game.
When have you ever seen Bill Belichick's boo-thang on the bench?
Never.
Was his wife on the bench?
Kyle.
No.
Never mind. I don't want to go there.
Well, you can go there. I ain't going to get in trouble.
If you were that age, would you be looking to date someone that age?
If I was that age and me and my baby girl fiance decided to go our separate ways with no plan whatsoever, because as I said, it's cheaper to keep her. And I love her.
I love her.
No.
Remember when he said,
"I'm
not going to get in trouble."
I wouldn't want to go that young. As a 35-year-old man, there is nothing that me and a 23-year-old have in common. I don't know none of these TikToks. I just watched the VMAs, and I don't know what was going on. I don't know none of this.
Wait, they still do the VMAs?
Yeah, because after the Packer game, the VMAs were on.
Strofe, I was having a conversation. Do people still do music videos?
Yeah, but they're not as popular as they used to be.
They used to be like the jam.
Well, yeah, because MTV would actually play them. Now they just play reruns of the Jersey Shore.
No, they do ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
24/7.
What is it called? The Fun Factory they have?
Same guy, Rob Dyrdek. Yeah. But it's the viral video show, Ridiculousness. But the Fantasy Factory was his show before that.
Fantasy.
Which was a great show.
There's nothing a 22-year-old and I have in common now. So at 73, what am I doing? What is she doing? I know she doesn't love me.
Doing.
She wants
know
my money.
She's doing.
She wants for the money. Doing. Yeah, she wants me for my money.
No, she actually loves Bill Belichick's poetry. Sure, that's something they do together, right?
Strofe, this is anti-strofe. You say the world needs more love.
The world needs more like real love, though.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
You're calling this a fraudulent relationship.
Why are you talking about Jordan?
It seems a little bit controlling. Yeah, I'm not from my outside perspective. Yeah. It's a little strange.
I mean, it's how your relationship is, so you can see it.
Hey, whoa, that was quite.
Remember when she broke in on the interview and said,
"No, not doing this.
We're done.
Goodness gracious. Don't like that. All right, let's spin it again.
Wheel of Strofe.
I don't know if you're gonna like the next topic.
Good spin, Strofe.
Thanks, Betty. Purple. All right, so. So I know you guys, well, Kyle does, but Benny, you don't. Reality television, not your favorite.
I'm not anti.
So they announced the new Bachelorette today. Her name is, I'm blanking on it now. Regardless, she's from the show. Her name is Taylor Frankie Paul.
I just saw that little light-skinned gal.
So she's from The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Have you heard about the show and any of the drama surrounding it?
She's a Mormon?
So, yes. She was.
This goes against all of the Bachelorette.
Yeah, no,
so she was in.
No, nothing against Mormon.
She was one of the main characters in the Secret Lives
of
Mormon
Wives.
Five guys
at the end,
which was a very renowned show, right? And it was renowned and talked heavily about because all of these couples were swinging together.
Oh wow!
And it was like consensual swinging, and then somebody in the show took it a step too far with somebody else's husband. And that led to a divorce.
Wait, whoa.
It was this woman.
Wait, time out. How are you a swinger? This is a sports show, but how are you a swinger and you take it a step too far? Don't we know what that is? What are you talking about? What is a step too far when you swing?
They had parameters where they would, you know, participate in whatever they would participate in when they were all together.
Oh,
and then
this is
apparently
weird.
This woman and another man—that
would be too much to keep track of. Too many rules.
So anyway, long story short, she's now divorced. She has three kids after the swinging debacle, and now she's the new Bachelorette.
Oh, they had no. They're not the Bachelorette now.
They're done.
Now you're going for a castaway.
This isn't real love.
As a non-reality TV expert, but I will insert my opinion here. I did love the original, like the OGs, the first 10, 15 seasons of The Bachelor. Oh, wow. But now, with all of the consumption of Love Island, Love is Blind, 90-Day Fiancé, you can binge these and there's nonstop action 24/7. You got to wait a week to watch them go fly around the country and like it's just like it's not as good anymore.
I don't like it. I don't like her being a selection. I don't like that at all. Too much baggage. Way too much baggage. This drum be more drama than about the love.
Well said. I'm with you.
Is that it for the Wheel of Strofe?
That's it.
That's crazy.
We hit on basically Strofe's
gossip talk.
There's nothing in the sports world at all.
Hayes Uzumade had a great game. You don't say anything.
We're talking about real love.
So I was driving up to Road America, and look, I don't know if people like or don't like it, but I'm a sucker for Frank Caliendo. Frank Caliendo joined the Rich Eisen show, and he's joined him many times before. He was on fire today, but he's worked on a Jerry Jones impression.
Oh.
Rich Eisen asked him to break down how Micah Parsons got to the Green Bay Packers as Jerry Jones.
And he did it.
You got Frank Caliendo on the Rich Eisen show on how Micah became a Packer next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Babe Ruth was short, fat. Well, I don't know how short he was. He looked short in the video. He was fat. He was stubby. He looked fat. He tried it. He didn't have a sprint. Have you ever seen Babe Ruth sprint? I wonder how many steals he had. Zero.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Sun is shining, a beautiful day to be out in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin at Road America. Here's something. Active duty military, reserve duty members, and veterans receive free admission all weekend with an ID. I know Kyle has his student ID to get discounts. I don't think you're going to be pulling a fast one here at Road America. Because you got the 70th anniversary and the Aaron's Art of Wheels vintage weekend this weekend. Check it out. Road America, a beautiful place, and so happy to be here today. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace. With Alex Strofe running the show, UKBN Nation is always at 800-990-3776. As I mentioned, listening to the Rich Eisen show on the way up to Road America, Frank Caliendo, like how he's able to change his voice he was 80 million different people today. He was John Madden. He was John Gruden. He was Nicolas Cage.
These voice impersonators are incredible.
I don't get it.
I don't know how they.
He
do
added
it.
A new voice to his repertoire.
We thought this is the way it should be. Now, this is the same idea that we had with Jimmy. Jimmy, it was our guy, but when he ceased to be our guy, we moved on. And we are better.
Frank Caliendo. He got that pause in the
Micah.
Yeah, he got it right. The delusion that he has as well, he definitely got it right.
He's not our guy anymore.
Frank always hits, but the thing is I love the comedy in it, but the poetry and the beauty in it. The Packers benefited from that.
The poetry is like, this happened.
No, oh, I know. It still seem unreal. On Sunday, it still seem a little bit like
this is a video game. Land.
Yeah, it didn't seem real. It really didn't seem real. That
it still doesn't seem real.
Yeah, it's weird. And this must be how other organizations, when they make deals and they get, this must be how it feels. This is so odd that we're so shocked by this. Like, we were like, oh, my gosh.
We became so used to the Milwaukee Bucks leveraging so much to try and get the next piece to win a championship that maybe they over-leveraged themselves. But this one was so clear.
Maybe, huh?
Huh?
You said maybe they over-leveraged themselves?
Maybe. Just maybe. Maybe. I think they did, but just maybe. You got the Bucks become so accustomed to what was Eric Bledsoe to Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard.
It kept getting better.
You know, they kept
swinging. I used to be excited about John Salmon and Corey Maggette. we've come a long way.
And then when you think about it, it's like, wait, Micah's really on the Green Bay Packers. And like even after he played on the Packers, I still don't believe he's a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah.
How could someone be so stupid to give up what we saw in 29 snaps? In 29 snaps, Micah Parsons was the best player on the field the entire game. The entire game. In 29 snaps, Micah Parsons was the best player on the field. And he somehow was given away, in my opinion, for very, very, very reasonable price. Too reasonable.
Two first-round picks.
And a guy who was on his third contract that really didn't play that great for you. A great Packer throughout his career, but not someone you're saying, oh, Kenny Clark's off limits for Micah.
I mean, and when you look at this Green Bay Packers roster, a lot of the guys that you are thinking about who's going to get that next contract, when you talk about a Zach Tom, not a first-round pick. When you talk about even Christian Watson just getting that, not a first-round pick. When we look at the most explosive guys on the defense, which are Edgerrin Cooper, guess what? Not a first-round pick. Xavier McKinney signed him. So, I mean, we talk about these first-round picks. Who cares? You got Micah Parsons that shows you why first-round picks don't mean anything. When you can get a player of his caliber, that shows you how big of a difference he can make. Could the Packers have beaten the Lions without Micah Parsons? On Sunday, it looked like so, but Micah Parsons made it from what probably could have been a close game to being a blowout in the difference maker. The pressure that he was able to create, the confusion, the attention he was able to get in the mind of Jared Goff. I mean, he made that big of a difference. So, Jerry Jones, thank you for giving us Micah Parsons.
Micah. I do want to look at something where I want Kyle to put his money where his mouth is.
Uh-oh.
Maybe not actually, because I know it's hard to get.
I got the carpet clean, so I just.
I think I owe you $5.
You do owe me $5. That is true. Ooh, all I got is 22 in my wallet.
So what if we took the $5 that I had, we maybe did something with it based off this Lions Commanders game or this Packers Commanders game?
I may need to talk with my future wife about this.
You don't even know what it is yet.
Okay, well, you know, based off that, maybe we could say yes or no. You got to tune in to find out.
That's in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.